Hey, and welcome to the Joy Church podcast. If you'd like more information, check us out at www.joychurchnh.com or visit us in person at 55 Barnstead Road, Pittsfield, New Hampshire. We hope you enjoy and are blessed by this message. And now on to this week's sermon.
Good morning, Joy Church. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Bob McGann, and I am one of your elders here at Joy Church. And no, I'm not preaching today. You'll have to wait till next week for that. We are going to do something very exciting today. We are going to install a couple of new elders to join our elders board. And so I have a few things because they told me I could speak. So I took the opportunity to do some teaching because that's who I am. So I'm going to answer four questions for you about elders, and then we're going to install our new elders. So why elders? Elders are important to the church because first and foremost, they are the leaders that Christ has appointed to oversee his church. This is not a mere suggestion. It is the biblical mandate. Elders are so important that one of Paul's first apostolic decisions in the churches that he established was to appoint elders there. In Acts 14:23, it says, Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. Besides their biblically mandated presence in a church, there are several specific ways that elders are important to the vitality and health of a church. The church needs elders who are spiritually minded. The church needs elders who will care for people. The church needs elders who model their lives for the people. The church needs elders who uphold church discipline. The church needs elders who teach the word, and the church needs elders who protect them from deceivers. Mike and Kathy, in their desire to lead church, Joy Church, God's way, decided to have elders to walk alongside them in the biblical leadership and oversight of Joy Church. It is an honor to serve as an elder, and speaking for my fellow elders, something none of us have ever or will ever take lightly. Myself, my wife, Mary Beth, Kelly Gaskin, and Alan Gaskin are doing kids today. Those are your current elders. And, of course, Mike and Kathy as well. So what is an elder? When you think of an elder, you should think who and not what, because elders are people. In the church, an elder is a person who is in a leadership position. The use of the word elder in the New Testament is interchangeable with the word bishop or overseer. In fact, in Titus 1, Paul uses both words in describing the qualifications of an elder, which we'll get to shortly. The major responsibility is to oversee or manage God's house or the church. The most important aspect of that is the people of God. Notice how Peter describes the elder and their role in 1 Peter 5. He says, 1 Peter 5:1-3, he says, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those who are entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. So what are the responsibilities of an elder? According to the New Testament, elders are responsible for the primary leadership and oversight of a church. Elders lead the church. They teach and preach the word. They protect the church from false teachers. They exhort and admonish the saints in sound doctrine. They visit the sick and pray. And elders judge doctrinal issues. In biblical terminology, elders shepherd, oversee, lead, and care for the local church. So what are those qualifications? In 1 Timothy 3:1-6, it says, here is a trustworthy saying, whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. And now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him, and he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders, so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. And also in Titus 1:6-9, it says, an elder must be blameless, faithful to his wife, a man of whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. Since an overseer, how many of us have had wild and disobedient children? So clearly we're not perfect, just saying. I'll get to that later too. But they should not be overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. Rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. So now that you know what the qualifications of an elder are, I will remind you of my earlier statement that elders are people, and none of us are perfect. We strive to hold one another accountable to these standards. To live by these standards every day requires all of God's unending grace. So, as we walk as elders serving you, God's people, in Joy Church, there are certain things that matter in an elder. Character matters. We should be above reproach. This does not mean that we are perfect, but we should be not living a willfully sinful lifestyle. It's important to understand that the character of the person is not determined just by what is seen in public, but by what happens in their own house. Self-control matters. An elder should be able to control their anger, their appetites, and their attitudes. They should be living out the fruit of the Spirit, which includes self-control. Elders will have impact and influence on many people, so their behavior really matters. Maturity matters. As great as leadership can be, there are many dangers and pitfalls as well. Paul mentions pride as one of them. The challenge of being an elder is that not only will people look up to you, but they may also tell you what they think of you, both good and bad. If you're not mature enough to handle this, it can increase your confidence, causing you to think you can do no wrong. The flip side is that it can also destroy your confidence, causing you to think that you can do nothing right. So it takes a lot of maturity to be an elder. Sound doctrine and the ability to teach matters. And teaching does not happen just from this pulpit. So I don't want to make that clear, that when there's an ability to teach, it does not mean that elders are required to be up here in front of you. Those of us that are crazy enough to do it, do it. An elder is, for one of those responsibilities, to help others grow. The elder must be able to teach others and must hold the sound doctrine. People are looking to elders for guidance and instruction, and we must know what we believe, and we have to be able to express it to other people. And lastly, care for people matters. One of the most important qualifications of an elder, in my opinion, is that they must care about people. In both passages, Paul mentions the requirement of hospitality, and this means they must be the type of person that welcomes other people. The most important function as an elder is caring for the people of God. So I'm going to ask the elders and Kim and Eric Gustafson to come forward. Kim and Eric are going to join our board today. So if the other elders would come up. Come on over here. So as elders, we are regularly considering the need for more elders. And late last year, we approached Eric and Kim to see if they would walk with us so we could get to know them and they could get to know us, and to give them a chance to experience what the responsibilities of eldership would be. Also give them an opportunity to ask questions of us and us to ask questions of them. Eric and Kim have walked with us now for almost a year, and we've recognized in them the traits that I talked about earlier. Kim has served faithfully on the worship team, Eric as a former council member, and together they've been doing a great job overseeing our prayer nights. They have been active in ministering and caring for many of you already. And so with all of those things and those things recognized and the leading of the Holy Spirit, we have decided and determined that they should be installed as elders of Joy Church. So I have a charge for you, and it comes right from the Word. Eric and Kim, God charges you, as Peter described in 1 Peter 5, be shepherds of God's flock under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And like any good message from the Bible, I'm going to turn this way because there's a charge to the congregation. In Hebrews 13:7, it says, "And the people of Joy Church, God charges you with this. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith." And in Hebrews 13:17, it says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you." We're going to lay on hands and pray for you now. And I'm going to have these guys go, and then I'll finish.
Kim and Eric, the beautiful thing that I have watched over the last couple years is what you are being charged with today and what you are saying yes to today, you have already been doing. For Mike and I, having a group of elders that care for us and pour into us and stand by us and give us godly wisdom and talk us through things and talk us off the ledge sometimes, even before today, both of you have been doing that. And I can speak for Mike and I saying how much we appreciate your care, your spiritual maturity, and the love for not just us, but people in Joy Church. And so, Father God, I ask you right now to pour your blessing out on Eric, on Kim, and on their family. Lord, I pray a hedge of protection around them. God, we know that when people step out in things that advance your kingdom, the enemy loves to come against. And so I pray, God, knowing that you will protect them, you will guide them, you will bring them peace, and you will continue to encourage them in you, Lord. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for Kim and Eric, for bringing them to Joy Church, and for their beautiful hearts to serve in all ways. In Jesus' name.
Lord, again, we thank you for Eric and for Kim and for their commitment, their faithfulness, Lord, the things that they have already shown. And God, we know that as we say here at Joy Church, the best is yet to come. So we know, Lord, that you're going to bring even more out from the service and the ministry that they do here at Joy Church with each of us. We thank you for that, God. We thank you that you have a plan and you have a vision. And we thank you, God, that Kim and Eric are part of that plan, are part of that vision, are part of where you're leading us, where you're bringing us throughout the next months and years at Joy Church. We thank you, God, for that. God, I pray again for protection, Lord, for their family. I pray, God, that you would continue to work in them as they lead their family to you, as they lead others to you, as they lead Joy Church to you. In Jesus' name.
Father God, I pray that Eric and Kim would always prioritize their work, their walk with you first. Let them always find the strength, the grace, and the wisdom and love that they need to lead your people from your throne of grace and from nowhere else. Let them be filled with more of your Spirit so they can be the leaders you desire them to be. Father, we thank you, Lord, for bringing them to Joy Church. We thank you for just helping us to recognize the gift that they have. And we thank you for bringing them as part of our team. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah. Thank you. Welcome.
Yeah, let's give him a hand. Let's give God a hand for what he's doing here at Joy Church. Well, good morning. What an eventful morning we've had already. Some great worship. It's a great time to install new elders. I love my church. I love my church. Yeah, I love my church because God is moving here. And God is bringing us somewhere. We're not just kind of out wandering around wondering what is going to happen next. But we know that God is leading us somewhere, leading us in a direction. It's awesome that Kim and Eric are part of the elder team now as we head in that direction. And I love my church because of that. Hey, a couple of things. We're going to have a serving fair after the little message that I have for you. And if you don't know what that is, I'll explain a little bit as we go forward, but it's going to be right out here. So I just encourage you to stick around for a few minutes and visit the different booths, the different tables that we have of all the different areas that you can serve. And who knows, maybe you'll be kind of from within, just be like, oh yeah, I need to serve in this area and join us on a serving team. So we're going to do that as soon as we are done here. And speaking of that, since today we are talking about serving and service, I want to serve you by sharing a little piece of advice that I got when I first became a pastor, first started preaching, and I was asking someone, like, what are some of the most important things about delivering a message? What are some of the most important things that I should know? And this person says, well, you need to start out with a really strong start. You need to start out strong for every message. And then he said, you need to finish strong. You know, have a strong finish to every message. And he says, oh, but the most important thing is to keep those two things as close together as possible. So I'm going to serve you today by remembering that advice. We're going to have a short message because I want you to have plenty of time to be able to visit and to find areas where you can serve here at Joy Church. So I'm going to talk about serving today. It's going to be something that we're going to talk about throughout the day because serving is a big part of our lives as followers of Jesus. It's a big part of what he calls us to do. It's a big part of what he showed us how to do, right? He showed us. It wasn't something that he told us like, oh, this is what you need to do, but I'm not going to be doing it. Jesus showed us how to serve. He showed us how to serve our community and how to serve our church, how to serve each other. And so that's where we're going to really focus today is how can we serve one another in his church? And we serve because everyone matters. Our values here at Joy Church are what? Joy. Everyone matters. Integrity and generosity. We talked a lot about generosity last week, and we are a generous group of people, a generous congregation of people, but we are also a serving group of people. And I believe that serving kind of proves out that value that we live out, that everyone matters. We serve because serving is joyful. It's joyful to serve. It's fun to be able to serve with others, alongside others. We serve because serving is another way to be generous. Just as we can be generous with the physical resources that God has given us, we can be generous in our serving as well. We can also serve because we all know that it's not about us. Did you know that Joy Church is not about you? Sorry to break that news to you if you didn't know it. We are here about those who are yet to come, those who don't know Jesus, those who haven't heard the gospel. Joy Church is here for others. It's not about us. And ultimately, we serve because, you know, serving is not about getting a task done. Serving is about God getting us done through a task. Serving isn't about getting a task done. Serving is about God getting us done through that task. And I'm convinced that also kind of a separate thing, that serving is probably one of the best ways to enhance our mental health. It's one of the best ways to overcome anxiety or depression. It's how can you be anxious when you're serving someone else? How can you be depressed when you're serving others? So I'm convinced that serving is such a great way
to enhance and to make our mental health better. So let's look a little bit. I told you I'm going to have the beginning and the ending close together. So let's look at why we serve, right? And actually, there's lots of reasons. There's plenty of reasons to serve, right? You know, I guess one of the basic reasons that anyone, whether they follow Jesus or not, could say is that we serve just because we want to be a decent person, right? We just want to be good people, so we serve others. Serving shows us how much we care. If I serve someone, it shows that I care about their need or the particular circumstance they're in, or just in the fact that they can get more enjoyment or more joy out of their life. So we serve showing how much we care. Serving keeps us humble. When we serve others, we kind of remember that it's not all about us. We remember that others are important and that everyone matters. Most importantly, though, I think, you know, we serve because Jesus is our model. We can read Scripture, we can read the Gospels and see that Jesus is our model. We're going to talk about a story in the book of John, chapter 13, this morning, that shows a little bit about Jesus and how he served. And the story takes place, it's John 13, 1 through 17. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but the story takes place at the Feast of the Passover when it was just before he was going to be crucified, just before he was going to be arrested, just before Judas was going to betray him. And so it came time for this Passover and to celebrate this traditional meal that the Jews of the time had. And it's still a tradition that carries on today. And so who was in this crowd? Who was with Jesus at this Feast of the Passover? It was his disciples. It was the ones that he had called, the ones that had walked alongside him for 3 years and learned from him and served with him and cared with him and been treated well by Jesus. So these disciples were there. Also, I suppose Da Vinci was there because he painted the picture, right? So he must have been there as well. So let's pick up in chapter 13, verse 3, at this Passover meal. And it says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands. So Jesus knew that God had given him everything, that God had put everything in his hands, that he is God, and he has all this power and all this, everything that the heavens could imagine. So Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Can you imagine the scene? Can you imagine the Son of God removing his outer garment, taking a towel and putting it around his waist and saying to you, a disciple of Jesus, come, let me wash your feet. Let me serve you by washing your feet. This was a very important act in the day, very practical act as well as a way of exemplifying humility. Let me wash your feet. And so, you know, as I was thinking about this, I'm like, why did Jesus do this? Why did he do that? He didn't have to, because it says he knew that the Father had given all things into his hands. I don't know, he probably could have just said, God, make everybody's feet clean. And like miraculously, feet would have been clean, right? But he didn't do that. Why? Why did Jesus decide it would be upon him to wash his disciples' feet? Well, I suppose at a very practical level, maybe it was just because it needed to be done, right? Nobody else was stepping up to do it. It's a very practical reason that none of the other 12 stepped up and said, oh, Jesus, I'll take care of that. I've got that. You don't have to worry about it. Maybe these disciples, maybe they thought this was a little beneath them to serve and to wash each other's feet. And Jesus kind of debunked that theory pretty quick, right? Maybe Jesus did this act of washing his disciples' feet to show us what it looks like to serve those that we love. Just what it looks like, the beauty of serving. I mean, it's amazing to me, and if you've been here a while, Kathy did a sermon on Father's Day several years ago where fathers came up on stage and washed their children's feet. And just the act of being on your knees with someone, washing their feet, is such a beautiful act. It's such a loving act. It's such an act that shows humility and kindness. Maybe Jesus wanted us to see that coming directly from him. And maybe he's just to show us that we're all here to serve one another. There's not a hierarchy. Nobody's higher or lower. Nobody is above serving. Nobody's below serving. That we can all serve. Now, really, I believe it could be any of these reasons. I believe it could be all of these reasons. But I think the bottom line is that it's just who Jesus is, right? It's just who he is. It's his nature. It's God's nature to serve us, to love us, to care for us, to show how much he cares for us enough to send his son to the cross a little later. So why do we serve? Why do we serve here at Joy Church? Why do we serve here in 2024? Well, we serve because Jesus modeled it for us. He showed us how to do it. He showed us that it's important. We serve because serving is part of becoming a disciple. We know that in Jesus' Great Commission, he says that, you know, we should make disciples. Make disciples. And part of becoming a disciple, you know, part of it is, yeah, it's sitting and reading the Bible and being in prayer and doing all the quiet time stuff. But also becoming a disciple is the action of serving one another. Serving is part of discipleship. It's part of us growing to be more like Jesus, which is what disciples are all about. We serve because we want to grow and to be more like Jesus. The next question you have, maybe beyond the why do we serve, is when? When do we serve? Well, I've got all that narrowed down to one word: now. Now. There's another story in the book of Matthew. I'm going to read a couple of verses from it. And this is a story where Jesus had been out in Capernaum. He had been serving. He performed a miracle for the centurion's daughter, and things were going well for him. And he's coming back, and he's going to kind of hang out at Peter's house, his disciple Peter. And Peter's mother-in-law was there. She was sick. I'm not going to say any mother-in-law jokes, but you can just insert your own here. So the story goes in verse 14 and 15 of chapter 8. And when Jesus entered Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she rose and began to serve him. She rose and began to serve him. It doesn't say, we're not sure if she had the flu or what was going on in her life, but she was sick with a fever. Maybe she had the COVID, right? Who knows? Whatever it was, she was sick. She had a fever, and we know how really bad lying in bed with a fever feels, right? And so Jesus comes in, and he touches her hand, and she's healed immediately. And then what happens? From the scripture and the way it reads, it says, like, she rose immediately and began to serve him. So she served him now. She served him with what she had, with whatever the circumstances are now. It's like, oh, wait, I can serve Jesus now. He's healed me. He's made me whole. Oh, maybe that's a lesson for all of us, that when Jesus has healed us, he's brought us salvation, he's made us whole, it's time to get up and serve. It's time to get up and serve others and to be a part of his body. Peter's mother-in-law didn't wait for instruction. She didn't ask for permission. It was just part of her character. She got up. She was a follower of Jesus. So absolutely, he's healed me. I'm going to serve. Part of her character is to serve others, even when she was just recovering from her own illness. I mean, she could have laid there and said, oh, I've really felt bad for the last day or two. My fever's gone, but I'm going to lay here a while and let my son-in-law, Peter, take care of me. Maybe she could have done that, but she didn't. She got up immediately, and she served now. So when can we serve, you and I? When can we serve here at Joy Church? Well, there's opportunities to serve here every Sunday. Every week, there's opportunities to serve here. There's opportunities to serve others throughout the week, 7 days a week, serving those that are in your family, those who live in the same house with you. Imagine serving them, serving your coworkers, serving people in the grocery store, just by being helpful and serving and have a servant's heart and taking that with you. But there's opportunities here every Sunday to serve. And I got a question for you to think about. How many people does it take to do what we do here on Sunday morning? How many people do you think it takes? All of them? That kind of messes up my answer. Because I was going to say it takes a minimum of 30 people to do what we do here on Sunday morning. Between worship team, ushers, techie stuff, cafe, greeters, 30 people to make something happen here. Kids, yeah. It takes everyone to pitch in and be a part of who we are and to serve here at Joy Church. There's a place for everyone. A place for everyone. And the time is now. Now. So then your next question is, well, who can serve? Am I qualified even to serve? Am I good enough to serve at this esteemed place? And I got a one-word answer for that, too. Yes, you are. There's a place for everyone to serve. Are you an introvert? Got any introverts in the house? I know of one. Yep, we got several. There's a place for you to serve. I talked with one person this last week, and we were talking about serving, and she said, you know, well, I thought about maybe working at the info hub, but really that just overwhelms me. I'm an introvert. But she said, you know what? I can go in the nursery and rock babies and take care of babies all the time. And I love that. And it's like, okay, there you go. That's what you can do then. Don't be an info hub. Don't be a greeter if you're an introvert. But there's a place for you to serve. Extroverts? Any extroverts in the house? We know who you are. Yeah? You don't have to ask for hands raised on that, right? Young people, old people, there's a place for everyone here at Joy Church to serve. If you're not a member here at Joy Church and you think, oh, well, I'm not an official member of the church, well, there's places that you can serve here. There are places that require membership, but there's also many opportunities for you to serve as a regular attendee of Joy Church, member or not. Now, I want to just add one thing out of practicality. There are places that for you to serve that require background checks. We are not apologetic about that. Anyone who's going to be working or close at all to our children or our youth ministry is going to have a background check. And I think that is something that I never want to change, because we want to have a safe environment. We want to be sure that our environment is absolutely as safe as possible. And to kind of take the lead in that, all of our elders and our church council and the leaders all take a background check. If we are in any way ever going to be close to the youth area or the kids area, anybody that does that as a leader is going to be have a background check. So there are places where that may happen, where Kathy might come to you and say, we need your information to do a background check. But the bottom line is there's a place for everyone. Who can serve? You can serve. Everyone can serve. Scripture tells us that we're called to good works. We're called to do good works. And I don't know, that probably equates to serve, right? Doing good works is serving others. And this scripture that I'm going to read here in a minute, it doesn't list an age restriction or any special certifications that you must have in order to serve, in order to do good works. The scripture comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, and it says, for we are his workmanship. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, to serve each other. Good works which God prepared beforehand. He's already got the works prepared for us. He prepared them beforehand that we should walk in them. I love my church because there's a place for all of us to serve now. All of us now. This verse also kind of speaks to the how, right? I know that's one more question that we have. How can I serve? Well, God has prepared all these good works for us beforehand, and I believe that he's put those in our hearts. He's given us all passion and excitement and joy at certain things, where one person's excitement about rocking babies in the nursery is probably somebody else's worst nightmare, right? Tell me about it. But that's the beauty of God's family. That's the beauty of the church that he's put together here and around the world, is that we're diverse and we have different passions and ideas and thoughts and different things that bring us joy. But we weave all those together and we have a beautiful community at Joy Church who serves each other and serves the Lord. What are you passionate about? What are the things that bring you great joy? What are the things that you do and you feel so excited and so your cup is so full at the end of the day? What are those things? Well, I'll say whatever those things are, do that a lot. Do that a lot. That's your place of serving. That's the works that God has created for you beforehand, right? Do that stuff. Find out what God's put in your heart and then just do a lot of that. Because I can promise you, if it comes from the Lord, if God's putting that in your heart, it's going to be a good thing. It's going to be a thing that adds to the body. It's going to be a thing that adds to our community. It's going to be a thing that's encouraging and uplifting for each other, for us as individuals, and for our community. Speaks to the how. If you're not sure about your passions, you're not sure, like, I don't know where I want to serve. I don't know what I'm passionate about. Then my answer to you is two words. Do something. Find a place where you can start. Find a group that in our serving fair afterward that you think, well, this seems like a good place to jump in and start. I want to do this and work alongside some people and get to know people and be more connected and committed to Joy Church. So I'll start here. And let's say you do that. And let's say 6 weeks later, after you've served a couple of times, you say, oof, what was I thinking? I've done it. You're not committed for life. I can promise you, you can go up to your leader and say, you know what? This isn't me. I'm going to take a break from this. I'm going to give a little bit of a notice. Don't just quit today. And say, you know what? I'm going to work my way out of this, and I'm going to find another place to serve here at Joy Church. So you're not tied to something for life. God's brought us freedom. He's not tying us up. God's church is beautiful. It's diverse, different giftings, different passions. He provides all of our needs according to His riches and glory, comes straight from Scripture. He gives Joy Church everything we need. He gives us all the people, the gifts, the passions, the talents. They're all here. They're in this room. We have what we need according to His riches and glory. So what is your gift? What is your passion? How can you use that as a valuable piece of Joy Church? So find out what you're passionate about and do a whole lot of that. I love my church because we serve. We realize that it's not about us. We're disciples of Jesus, and we're striving and working to become more and more like Him. And I love my church because there's a place for every one of us to serve. And like I said earlier, we're having a little serving fair outside today. You're going to get out a few minutes early, so you don't have an excuse. You didn't say, well, they held me too long, and now I can't stay. You do have time to stay and check it out and find a place where maybe you could step in and serve. And I can promise you, it's not going to be like, oh, you've got to do this every Sunday. You must be here. You can never take a break. It's serving maybe once a month. And the big majority of the places that we have to serve happen on Sunday morning when you're pretty much here anyway. So I just want to encourage you to check it out, to find a place and give it a try. Just give it a try. And see what you think. And I can promise you, as you serve, you're going to find joy. You're going to find people who serve alongside you who want to get to know you better and to share life with you and to do life together through serving with each other and serving one another. I'm not begging you to serve. We've got people doing what we do. We get things done here at Joy Church on Sunday. It's more of, I'm giving you an opportunity to step into something that can bring you joy and can unleash your passions and can really a way to serve one another and be a part of this community of body of believers committed in relationship to one another and to Jesus. It's a chance to take up your own servant's towel like Jesus did. I love my church because we know that serving isn't about us. Becoming more and more like Jesus is why we serve. So there's one scripture I want to close with. And again, it reflects on Jesus. It's from the book of Hebrews. It reflects on Jesus and how he served us. It's Hebrews 12, 2. It says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. The greatest way Jesus served us, the greatest way that he served us was taking on that cross, despising the shame of my sin, the shame of your sin, taking that shame to Golgotha, to the cross, crucified, beaten, spat upon, so that we can find freedom and we can find joy through his resurrection. He overcame the grave. He served us by defeating death in the grave, a resurrected life. Jesus is our model. He's the one that the founder and perfecter of our faith. He's the model of why we do the things we do, of how we can become more and more like him. He served us on the cross. He served his disciples with the servant's towel and had it recorded in scripture so we could learn from it. He despised the shame of my sin, of your sin, and took on the cross for you and for me. That's why we serve. And I love Joy Church because we're a church that serves. We're a church that cares about others and serves others. So this morning, as we finish up, we're going to have a quick video, and then I'll come back and we'll be dismissed. And I just want to encourage everyone to go to the serving fair. Oh, by the way, there's going to be a few snacks. Can I get an amen? Amen. Yep. And it's a giveaway. Yep. It'd be like a passport. If you get all your passport checked off, you're in a drawing. So there's some incentive for you. But the greatest incentive, it's a way to grow, to be more like Jesus by serving others. Watch the video, and then we'll do I'll come back and dismiss.
We hope you enjoyed this message and were blessed by what you learned. If you'd like to hear more of our podcasts or to get more information about our church, head to our website at www.joychurchnh.com. We look forward to hearing from you and sharing with you next Sunday's sermon. Until then, we love you, and there's nothing you can do about it.